Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We're currently going through the book of Deuteronomy with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through Deuteronomy chapter 13, where we see that in today's day and age, there are many people that can appear to be godly, spiritual, speaking on behalf of God in a form of prophecy or word of knowledge, but there are also false prophets and people that we need to be aware of that are not speaking on behalf of the Lord, but are actually false prophets and people leading others astray. Through today's message, we see that if you want to know the truth, you study the real thing. Then you'll be able to spot the counterfeit. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Deuteronomy chapter 13.
And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, listen, shall be put to death. It seems a little severe, doesn't it? It seems a little strong, but the Lord knows what he's doing. This is the reason why God says they should be put to death, because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God. There is a direct reason for why they do what they do. Literally, to turn you away from your God, to cause you to revolt, the Hebrew means, against your Lord. Which brought you, the one who brought you out of the land of Egypt, the one who redeemed you. The one who redeemed you out of the house of bondage. They have come to thrust you out of the way. Literally, that phrase in the Hebrew means to make you apostatize. How many of you have read about apostasy in the pastoral epistles? Paul speaks about it to Timothy, to Titus. There's going to be an apostasy in the last days. Listen, we're in the last days. You got to know these things. If you don't realize it, Jesus is coming soon. These things need to matter to you. There's going to be a great apostasy in the last days. What does that mean? When there's an apostasy, it means that people who once were in the faith are going to turn away unto something else. They're going to go whoring on their God. They're going to apostatize. They're going to revolt. They're going to turn from the truth, turn from God's word, and they're going to go in direct opposition to what it declares. Please understand these things. There are going to be teachers that are leading people this route, this way. Don't be a victim to these things. Understand it here. Know how to test the spirits behind the pulpit. I have no problem with TBN directly. I have no problem with so many of these mega pastors of churches around the world. Listen, but know the message that you're listening to behind the speaker. Know what they're declaring. Know what they're putting forth. Know their spirit. Is it God's spirit? Is there another spirit? I'm the one who redeemed you. These are seeking to make you apostatize, to thrust you out of the way of the Lord, your God, which I've commanded you to walk in. Therefore, you shall put the evil away from the midst of thee. We're going to be told at least another 8 times in Deuteronomy by God to Israel and to us tonight. To put these types of things away from us. To put these types of people away from us. It reminds me of 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Where there was a man having sex with his stepmom in the church in Corinth. And Paul says, I'm not even there, but you guys obviously need me to deal with this thing for you from afar. I'm with you in spirit. You need to put this man out from among you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Get rid of this sin. Take drastic measures. If you got diagnosed with cancer and the doctor says, I could either cut the cancer out or we could leave it there and see what happens. Chances are, though, it might infect the rest of your body and spread throughout. What would you say? Well, I don't want to be mean to the cancer. I don't want to offend the cancer. I don't want to hurt anybody's feeling, and I don't want to go through that pain. Let's just leave it there and see what happens. No, you would say, get it out now. Remove it quickly. And the Lord sees sin in the church, sin in the camp, as cancer. And it will spread quickly and violently if it's not dealt with swiftly by the leadership. And even though we don't go killing false prophets, even though we're New Testament Christians, we're not Israelites, so we don't apply these things completely, there's still a spiritual truth here. There's still an application putting out from among us these people who come and seek to thrust us away from the ways of the Lord. Have nothing to do with these teachers, these preachers, these people in the church who are constantly trying to take you on tangents. Listen, I've had people come here. I've already had people, in the 3.5 years of senior pastoring, or almost 4 years now, I've already had people come here and say, hi, I'm Prophet so-and-so. And I just look at him like, no, you're not. You're not prophet anybody. The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Are you talking to me about Jesus? Are you seeking to promote yourself? Are you seeking to draw the congregation? I've had folks ask me. I had a lady come to me. The first Sunday she came, she says, I would love it if you would let me. After first service, she said, I would love it if you let me address second service. I have a word for your people here. You know, we can't kill these people. We're Christians. We're not Israelites. But you don't give them the pulpit, you don't give them the place, and what happens is they move, they get the hint. They're not going to get a foothold in this church, and they leave. And they've left. Handfuls of them have already left in the almost 4 years of doing this thing. And I've been on staff here, I've been pastoring, assisting pastoring, since 2002. They've left. Why? Because their hearts aren't pure and clean. They have an ulterior motive. They're seeking to draw crowds after themselves or another God. It's not Jesus. It's not the Jesus of the Bible. Put them out from among you. It seems severe, it seems drastic, it seems harsh, but it's necessary. God knows we can't handle that type of contamination among us. Now God gets personal here in verses 6 through 11. It's not just like, hey, if it's some teacher on TBN or on the radio or some pastor in a church that you visit. Now he makes it personal. Look what he does here. He says, hey, if your brother or the son of your mother or your son or your daughter, or the wife of your bosom, or your friend. Man, it's hard when it's your friend, isn't it? If it's your friend, which is as thine own soul, somebody that you feel like you're one with, that you're so close, which is as thine own soul, if he entices you secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which you have not known, you nor your fathers, namely of the gods of the people which are round about you, that are nigh to you, or afar off from you, from one end of the earth even to the other end of the earth, you shall not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shall your eye pity him, neither shall you spare, neither shall you conceal him, but you, look what it says here, you shall surely kill him. Your hand shall be the first one upon him to put him to death. The idea here is when the person is found guilty of seeking to cause you to apostatize, listen, the person who's directly offended by the person is the one to cast the first stone. Remember, that's why Jesus said in John 8, when the woman's caught in adultery, go ahead. He was without sin, let him cast the first stone, the one who's been directly offended. And they all, from eldest to youngest, dropped the stones because all the offenders had no case. Here before us, the Lord is saying, if somebody directly seeks to entice you and they're found guilty, you are responsible to stone them. The Lord puts the onus on you, and I like that. You have a backbone as a Christian. Lest you love the Lord more than your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, your son, or your daughter, or your very best friend, Jesus said, you are not worthy to be my follower. The King James says, lest you hate your father and your mother. If you're like, well, I gotta hate my parents and my... No, it means love less. Lest you love less anyone. You are not to love anyone above the Lord your God. And if a person, I don't care who they are, if they're related to you through blood or if they've been your best friend since you were a child or whatever your story is, if they're seeking to lead you after other gods, cut them out of your life. Have nothing to do with them. I don't care. Hey, I'm trying to win them to Jesus, and, you know, I'm witnessing to them, and this is the only hope they have is if I keep witnessing. I would be careful. The Bible speaks about this. Listen, I'm not talking about, let me be very clear here in case I wasn't a moment ago. I'm not speaking about those in your life who are unbelievers. 1 Corinthians 5 deals with that. Those who are unbelievers and are sinning, they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. I'm talking about professed Christians. I've had people that are professed Christians, people who I've served Jesus with, from other Calvary chapels, who've gotten caught up in strange winds of doctrine. They're talking about another Jesus. They've gotten extra biblical, tried to debate with me, and tried to have fellowship, quote unquote, with me. And it isn't those things at all. It's not fruitful. It's not pleasing to God. It's casting pearls before swine. It's a waste of my time. I'm not going to have anything to do with this folly. You want to talk about God's word and coming back to Jesus and you want to be restored, I'm right there for you. But I'm not going to allow your nonsense to contaminate me. Don't even eat with a person that's deliberately, willfully in sin, it says in the New Testament. Don't even go out for a burger with a person. Don't even meet him at Starbucks. Have nothing to do with them. In fact, Paul says about the Corinthian church, about that man who's sleeping with his stepmom, he says, turn him over to the devil till he gets right. Everybody with me. Don't let anybody lead you after other gods. Deal with it. You personally, you deal with it if they seek to. And then after you're done stoning him, all the people will. And it says, you, verse 10, shall stone him with stones that he die because he has sought to thrust thee away from the Lord your God, which is the one who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Are you noticing repetition here? Redemption is central in this chapter. God is reinforcing over and over again, don't go whoring around on me with other gods that people seek to thrust you away from me and unto, as I am the one who has redeemed you. I have redeemed you from Egypt. It was by the blood of the Lamb that was applied to your doorpost that the angel of death passed over your home and you were preserved and saved. And it was by my mighty hand that led you through the Red Sea and buried Pharaoh and his army. It was by my mighty hand that led you through the wilderness that's bringing you into Canaan. It's all by my mighty hand. I'm the one who has redeemed you. Therefore, don't diss me, God says. Don't go cheating on me. Don't follow after other gods. They've done nothing for you. And God is speaking that to us tonight. All of us, listen, we don't go to some temple. We don't go worship and bow down to some idol physically many of times, but we do internally and we do emotionally and we do mentally. We do in other ways, don't we? We bow down to other gods that are all around us all of the time because of outside influences and because of our flesh. And God is saying to us tonight, pornography, what has that ever done for you? Lusting in the flesh, sex with somebody, what has that person ever done for you? Drugs, alcohol, whatever it is that is your God, whatever it is that you're struggling with and chasing after that the world around you is seeking to draw you unto, that has done nothing for you. The Lord your God, the God of the Bible, Jesus Christ, Yeshua, the Savior of the world, he is the one who has redeemed you. He is the Lamb who was slain for you. It is by his blood that your sins are washed away. We sing that song, Calvary, but we don't celebrate a place, we celebrate a person. We don't celebrate a tree, we celebrate the person who hung on that tree. We celebrate Jesus Christ, the perfect God-man, and what he has done for us. And the word of the Lord for us tonight here as the church, as New Testament saints, is this, don't go chasing other gods. When I, the Lord your God, have redeemed you, follow after me. Love me with all of your heart. Serve me with all of your strength. Cleave to me with all that you have to cleave with. And all of Israel, when they hear of these things, verse 11, they shall hear and they shall fear, and they shall do no more any such wickedness as this is among you. You've heard me talk about Saudi Arabia before. You've heard me talk about other places in the Middle East. You get caught stealing in the marketplace, they chop your hand off. Now when I'm thinking about stealing some fruit for my family or for myself, when I'm out in Times Square there or wherever it is, the marketplace where the fruits and vegetables are all set up to be sold, I'm going to think twice when the guy next to me has no hand. God is saying here, when you start to put into play here my words, when people hear the word of the Lord, they will begin to fear the Lord. And that's the whole purpose here, to keep this nation, to keep this people holy. Same thing in the church. When you go to a church, and if this is your church, if you come to Calvary Chapel and you see the pastors, the elders, the leadership, they don't wink at sin. They don't let gossip and slandering go on. They don't let adultery and affairs go on. They break sin up as the Lord exposes it. As you say that, you're going to think to yourself, if you have an ulterior motive, maybe I better go to a different church to cause trouble because they are on it here. And by the way, we are on it here. Because if we are not holy, the Lord isn't going to bless this thing. If we are not doing everything we can to keep any leaven from permeating through the lump here, us, then we shouldn't even show up. If we want this thing to be moved by God's Spirit, Spirit-led, not purpose-driven, Spirit-led, then we need to be holy for the Lord our God is holy. Now, he takes it from just some random person to a family member. Now he says about a whole city. It makes me think of the Muslim nations. You know, you see the Lord, he instructs when a people are depraved, the ites that will be dealt with when Israel enters the land, he instructs them, hey, wipe the husbands out, wipe the wives out, the mothers out, wipe the children out, wipe them all out. Because the nation is so depraved. It makes sense. Please hear me here. It makes sense when you see in modern day a family that is the practices, religions that are full of hate to anybody else who doesn't practice the religion, who seeks to wipe out infidels and Americans and Jewish people. These little kids are brainwashed to burn our flag, to spit on our flag, to hate Jewish people, to hate America. They are taught that as children. We see this all the time. They witness and they watch their dads hang people who profess Jesus Christ and torture them. There was just 8 Christians in Iran this past weekend that I read about that were tortured. They would not comply to the whole Muslim holiday that was going on here of fasting recently and fast along with the rest of their people, culturally and ethnicity. And so these people who proclaim Christ in this section of the world, these guys, these Muslim men, they took their cigarettes and they burned their lips with their lit cigarette because of what they did not compromise in their walk with Jesus. And then they hung them in front of their families. So if you hear, God says, if you shall hear in one of the cities, verse 12, which the Lord your God has given thee to dwell therein, saying, certain men, the children of Baal, they are gone out from among you, and they have withdrawn the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods which you have not known. Then shall thou inquire, and you shall make search, and you shall ask diligently, and behold, if it be truth, and the thing certain that such abomination is wrought among you, you shall surely smite the inhabitants of that city with the edge of the sword, destroying it utterly, and all that is therein, and the cattle thereof, with the edge of the sword. I think of God's word when I read that. And you shall gather all the spoil of it, verse 16, into the midst of the street thereof, and you shall burn with fire the city, all the spoil thereof, every whit for the Lord your God, and it shall be a heap forever, it shall be never built again. And there shall cleave naught of the cursed thing to thy hand, that the Lord may turn from the fierceness of his anger, and show mercy and have compassion upon thee, and multiply thee as he has sworn unto thy fathers. Hey, the growth, the blessings of God, they're not going to come if you wink at these things, if you tolerate these things. But if you deal with them as God instructs you to, God's going to pour out his blessings. God is going to supernaturally work on your behalf. When you hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, verse 18, to keep all of his commandments, which I have commanded thee this day. Notice what it says, to do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord your God. That's all that matters, is doing what's right in the eyes of the Lord your God. Listen, the summation here of all of this is this: God governs his people by decree, not by consensus. So even if a whole city says, this is the way we're going to do things now, this is the way we're going to move, these are the gods we're going to worship, no, it's not. Not if it contradicts the God of the Bible. Not if it contradicts Jesus Christ. But here's how it works. So goes the family, so goes the city. So goes the city, so goes the state. So goes the state, so goes the nation. As we look at Rochester tonight and we see the depravity and the sin and the evilness and the wickedness all around us, and we see people bowing their knees left and right to other gods, if it bothers you that much, if it troubles you that much, right after praying, which is first and foremost that you need to be doing, you need to be working out holiness in your own life and in your family's life. The holier that you are, the holier that your family is, the holier Rochester, New York will be. I believe it. If we want to see Jesus move in this city, and I believe we do, then we ourselves personally as the church need to be holy. If we're not going to be holy, and if we're not going to put a stake in the ground and say, Lord, I'm willing not to compromise by your strength and for your glory, if we're not going to do that, sinners aren't going to do it either. Sinners aren't going to take a stand. It's got to be us. It's got to be us. It's got to be us who are not willing to put up and to tolerate anything that is displeasing to our Lord, and to walk with him and to follow hard after him. Enough of just Sunday morning Christianity, right? Enough of just going to church and going to Bible study, but not putting it into play. Let us take what we learn, even if it's a night like tonight where a lot of it doesn't directly apply to us. Let us take the little application that's there for us and apply it to our lives and say, God, help me to be more like you. Help my family to be more like you, so that we can affect this city for Jesus Christ in his sake. I'm going to invite the worship team up. We'll pause here. We'll pick up next week on the dietary laws in chapter 14 and just allow the Lord to minister to our heart as we go through this book of review of so much of what we've already learned. But let's do this. Let's just close this night by worshiping our Redeemer for what he has done for us, for saving us, for giving us the hope of heaven, knowing that he's coming soon, knowing that he's given us his word so that we can know what to look for concerning his return. I mean, we don't know the day or the hour, right? But we know that he said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, lift up your head because your redemption draws nigh. Hey, we've seen them begin to come to pass, haven't we? They've begun. Jesus is coming soon. Let's live for him. Father, we thank you for this night, and we thank you for just a time to worship you and to open your word together, Lord. We pray now that you would just receive this song of praise, Lord, as we seek to lift up the name of Jesus. Be glorified, we pray, in this place.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.